From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up today is Veterans Day. We salute all of our military veterans for their service to our nation, whether in time of peace or time of conflict. Thank you. Thank you for your service. And speaking of veterans, military veteran Congressman Brian Babin joins us for a discussion of the state of our military and what a transition from a Trump administration to a Biden administration would look like for national security if that occurs. Unless you listen to and believe the legacy media, that's the left's mouthpiece, it's not just President Trump and his campaign that are weighing in on voting irregularities. 10 state attorneys general have filed an amicus brief with the U.S. Supreme Court urging the court to step in and reverse the Pennsylvania Supreme Court that swung open the door to potential voter fraud at the 11th hour of the 2020 election. We'll be joined by one of those attorneys general, Louisiana Attorney General Jeff Landry. And the bias does not stop with the headlines from like media outlets like the Associated Press, which this morning, here was their headline. U.S. states cite smooth, well-run elections disputing Trump's baseless claims. Well, big tech has gotten into the game as well. Dan Gaynor, VP of the Media Research Center, is here to explain that. And earlier today, the Georgia Secretary of State announced a hand recount of ballots in the presidential race.
With the margin being so close, it will require a full by-hand recount in each county.
Now, yesterday, the White House announced 234 pages of sworn affidavits regarding voting irregularities in one county in Michigan, as well as, and they filed another lawsuit. Matt Slapp with the American Conservative Union, who is heading up the legal challenge for the Trump campaign in the state of Nevada, joins us with the latest list of voting irregularities. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you are on politically incorrect parlor, it's at T. Perkins. They have yet to be censored. They're not censoring over there. So if you want to go over to parlor where they're censor-free, you can actually express your mind as a conservative and not be censored. Also tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, PrayVoteStand.org. It's the website we've been having every Wednesday night for the last 12, 13 weeks. We've been doing special broadcast every Wednesday night. Well, tonight, as we did last night, we're going to have a prayer session. Former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann will be there. The pastor of Times Square Church, Pastor Carter Conlon, as well as Pastor Gary Hamrick from Cornerstone in Leesburg, Virginia, will be joining me for that. That's 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Go to PrayVoteStand.org, and you can be a part of that. And I encourage you folks, don't get discouraged. Look, know what we're up against. Number one, the media is lying. Number two, there's reason to be hopeful. The president continues to fight. We should stand with him as long as there are issues of irregularities and questions of fraud that have not been resolved. We need to pursue it. Now, when it's all said and done, we get the truth. I can live with it. But I want to make sure we get the truth and we get the accurate results. All right. Yesterday, we celebrated the 245th birthday of the United States Marine Corps. And today, we honor all military veterans with Veterans Day. And we're grateful for those who were willing to lay down their lives for the benefit of others. And that's what Jesus talked about in John chapter 15, that greater love hath no one than to lay down his life for his friend. And, you know, I think one of the reasons our military continues to be so strong in a volunteer military is because of that Christian ethic that still is pervasive in our nation. I know that there's certainly a cultural battle, a spiritual battle raging, but that is so deeply ingrained in who we are as Americans that we still produce men and women who are willing to lay down their lives for others. And by the way, speaking of the military, disproportionately you have men and women of faith. Not all, but they are in greater proportion in our nation's military because of that understanding that we live for something greater than ourselves. So grateful, you veterans that are listening. In fact, I'm going to have I've got a poll question I'm going to get to in a minute that I want to hear from our veterans on. But first, I want to bring in our first guest. He is a veteran himself. He is a veteran of the Texas National Guard, as well as the Army Reserves and the Air Force. And he serves now as the congressman for the 36th Congressional District of the Lone Star State, my good friend Brian Babin. Brian, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Brother Tony. Happy Veterans Day, and thank God for veterans that have kept this country great, and freedoms that we enjoy today can be attributed to their brave efforts over the last 244 years.
You know, and it does actually give me a great sense of hope when I continue to see these young men and women who are volunteering themselves to serve and to go in harm's way. I mean, we've been in conflict for the last 20 years, and they're still volunteering. And it just gives me hope that there are men and women who care about something bigger than themselves and are continuing to serve our nation.
There's no question about it. My father was a World War II vet in the Pacific. I didn't go to Vietnam, but I was in the service during that time. And then I have a son. My oldest son was a Navy SEAL, 3 tours to Iraq, and he was decorated. And I tell you what, if it wasn't for veterans, like I just said, I don't think we'd be enjoying the fruits of our liberties and freedoms that we have right now. And anyway, I'm looking very much forward to talking to you about the possible differences between our military under a Biden administration versus Trump.
Well, I want to talk about that because one of the things I mentioned in my introductory comments is that men and women of faith are disproportionately drawn to our nation's military. Again, I'm not saying all are, but it is an important part for many of the men and women who serve. And I saw what happened under the Obama administration, where many of them were forced to hide their faith. They were persecuted for their faith. That has changed to a large degree under the Trump administration. There's still some cleanup that needed to be done over there. But I know as a member of the House Armed Services Committee, you've paid a lot of attention to that. You and your colleagues have spoken out very vocally on that matter. But that's one of my big concerns of what if, and I, a big if. I'm not ready to concede until the president is, but there would be a big change in our nation's military under a Biden administration. What would that look like?
It wouldn't look pretty. I can tell you, we went through, and by the way, I don't serve on House Armed Services. I'm on Transportation and Infrastructure, and I'm also the ranker of the House Space Subcommittee on Aeronautics as well. I'm also the co-chairman of the new Space Force Caucus of the House, and we'll be working with the House Armed Services Committee on a lot of these issues. But it would be an enormous difference, Tony. We saw what Biden, he was the vice president under Obama for 8 years. And we saw, because of sequestration, lack of funding, we saw a starving of our military. And their readiness was badly impacted, which resulted in underfunding, training accidents, safety problems. There were actually, at one time, there were more casualties in training accidents than there was in combat under that administration. There's a lot more adventurism, I think, under a Democrat, not always, but under a Democrat I think if you look historically under these administrations, we do have adventurism. Our foreign policy, especially on those 8 years, it was just the foreign policy of the Obama administration was weak. It was pathetic as far as I'm concerned. And we had the issues, moral issues, not only underfunding and, being deployed over and over and over again and training problems. But we also had a homosexuality movement that came into the military during that time. We had the transgender issues. I voted to end taxpayer-funded transgender surgeries in the military under Obama. And quite frankly, President Trump stopped that.
Yeah,
if someone, if you're colorblind, if you're flat-footed, you can't serve. But if you can't tell whether you're a man or a woman, you could serve. And if you did go in, you got a roughly $125,000 surgery to give you your transgender change, which absolutely has nothing to do but harm to our readiness. And thank goodness through executive orders that was eliminated by President Trump. So you will see that come back more than likely. You've got, speaking of foreign policy, you've got the Iranian nuclear deal that President Trump took us out of. We've held the Iranians accountable. They're responsible for 600-700 combat deaths of Americans, military personnel. And he took us out of that nuclear deal, which I thought was just nothing but a vehicle for the Iranians to be able to get nuclear weapons. When Trump took office, North Korea was on the front pages every day, firing missiles and blustering around and threatening to shoot their nuclear tip weapons all the way to the West Coast. Everybody laughed at President Trump when he started having a dialogue with Kim, and now we have that defused. I think we've got probably a better relationship with this strange, enigmatic regime and that we've seen over there since the Korean War than we've ever had.
And the media has criticized the president for that.
Yes, they have, and he has done a marvelous job. I mean, the guy he knows how to negotiate. He is an
even
expert
with crazy people.
Yes, he reads people. He knows exactly, Tony. And so I think that you're going to see more problems being, serving in the military than you are, under a Biden administration rather than a Trump administration.
I think what we're going to see is our military once again will be a laboratory for social experimentation. Our men and women will be like lab rats in his big in the left's push for this crazy, wacky social agenda of theirs. But even bigger than that, I mean, let me ask you this. When you look at all that you just went through, is America going to be at greater risk when you look at our national security as a result of those policies?
There is no question in my mind that we'll be at greater risk under a Biden administration and a Kamala Harris. We've already heard some of these Democrats saying they want to start defunding the military. They want to defund the police departments. They want to abolish ICE. And I guess they think that everything's going to be just kumbaya and everybody will behave themselves. And we're seeing that's certainly not
true.
Doesn't work that way. National security will be much weaker under President Biden. We'll have border issues. They're going to open the border up. We'll have more drugs, human trafficking, criminals coming across. Sanctuary cities will just blossom and bloom. In fact, instead of sanctuary cities, it'll be a sanctuary nation.
Well, I hope Americans wake up and realize what they have signed up for. Congressman Brian Babin, thank you for your service, and thank you for joining us today.
You bet, Tony. God bless. Keep up the great work.
All right. Thank you, sir. Brian Babin, Congressman for the 36th Congressional District of Texas. All right. I've got a question for our veterans, and you can get it. I don't have time to read it real quick, but text the word radio to 53445. That's the word radio to 53445. That's veterans only. Veterans only. But I want to hear from you because I promise, I'll give you the results before the end of the program. Coming up next, the Attorney General of the State of Louisiana, Jeff Landry, joins me to tell us why 10 attorney generals have filed a friend of the court brief with the Supreme Court in support of the Trump administration. Why? We talk about it next.
Hey, Matt.
Hey, Hannah.
What's going on? Why so gloomy?
Well, I'm a little disappointed. I had a lot planned to do during the stay-at-home time, and I just didn't do it.
Oh, yeah? What did you have planned that you didn't get to do?
Well, I was actually hoping I would finally be able to get time to do a regular Bible reading routine, and I started a couple of times. I just didn't stick with it.
Don't be too down on yourself. Starting a new routine can be hard, but one way to help is to join in with others and to have a good game plan. I think I have a good solution for you.
Oh, yeah?
Tony Perkins and FRC are doing a 2-year study in the Word. They have it all mapped out.
When did they start? I would be so far behind.
Oh, that's not a problem. You can literally jump in anytime. There's a daily reading, just a couple of chapters a day, with questions to help you think about what you're reading.
Nice. Where can I find this?
Go to frc.org/Bible, and you can get started.
Where's that again?
frc.org/Bible.
Got it. Checking it out now.
In a recent poll,
it was revealed that only 6% of Americans hold a biblical worldview. This research also indicated that Christianity's teachings on abortion, marriage, and homosexuality are not only misunderstood, but seen as dangerous and subversive. In response to this trend, Family Research Council has released a new set of resources in our Biblical Worldview series. In addition to our full publications, which cover the topics of Christian political engagement, abortion, religious liberty, and human sexuality, FRC now offers helpful summaries of each publication in this series, as well as accompanying prayer guides to help you and your family pray through these important issues. And finally, our popular Biblical Principles for Political Engagement is now available in Spanish. All these resources are free and available at frc.org/worldview. Again, that's frc.org/worldview.
Masculinity in America has never been under attack the way it is today. We've reached the point where the term itself is considered toxic or offensive to many. The consistent message in our nation is that masculinity by nature is bad and is the root cause of many of the problems plaguing our society. From his experience as a military combat officer and ordained minister of the gospel, Lieutenant General William Boykin has seen and dealt with firsthand the breakdown of leadership in our nation by the lack of godly men living lives of biblical purpose. In his latest book, Man to Man, Rediscovering Masculinity in a Challenging World, he addresses the essential elements of manhood as a provider, an instructor, a defender, a battle buddy, and a chaplain, and explains how to personally develop these traits and pass them to the next generation. Get your copy today of Man to Man, wherever books are sold. Welcome back. I'm Tony Perkins. This is Washington Watch. And again, poll question for veterans, veterans only. Text the word radio to 53445. That's 53445. And here's what I want to know. What primarily motivated you to serve in the U.S. military? Was it a call to serve your country, family tradition, seeking opportunity, a desire for adventure, or some of the older guys, were you drafted? So what was your primary motivation? I'd like to know. So take the poll question, veterans only, but really would like to hear from all our veterans. It gives us an idea how many veterans are actually out there listening to the program. I know we actually, and this includes active duty. You don't have to be just as, you could be an active duty member. Radio, text the word radio to 53445. All right, attorney generals from 10 states have filed an amicus brief. I said in support of the Trump administration, I meant Trump campaign. In terms of the legal challenge in Pennsylvania, they've filed a friend of the court brief with the U.S. Supreme Court. Now, the question is, why are these leaders from other states getting involved in Pennsylvania? Well, let's find out. Joining me now to answer that question and more is the Attorney General for the state of Louisiana, my home state, my good friend Jeff Landry. Jeff, welcome back to the program.
Tony, it is always a pleasure to be with you and again, my thanks to all of the veterans that are out there, and also not only the veterans, but their families, right? Because it is the families who partake in as much of the sacrifice as many of our veterans have as well. So thank you again for having me on the show.
Absolutely. The families, it's a family commitment. Sometimes the families are overlooked. All right, let me get into the facts of this. You were a part of a 10-state attorney generals filing this amicus brief to urge the Supreme Court of the United States to look into this case and to reverse the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania. What and explain why this action taken by the Pennsylvania Supreme Court could foster or aid voter fraud and why you've stepped in.
Well, we stepped in because basically the Pennsylvania Supreme Court has violated the U.S. Constitution. To kind of explain this in some layman's terms, it's pretty simple. The U.S. Constitution spells out the way that the president is going to be elected in this country. In other words, it sends that responsibility through the Constitution to state legislatures in setting out the time, place, and manner of the elections. And so that basically the U.S. Constitution said, listen, state legislatures will set those out. in the election of the president of the United States. The Pennsylvania General Assembly spelled out some ways into which mail ballots were going to be allowed inside of Pennsylvania, and said that those ballots had to be received by 8 p.m. The Pennsylvania Supreme Court said, we don't really like that text, and we think that maybe we should grant another 3 days for those ballots to come in. That's not the job of the courts, and that's consistently what we've been seeing over the last decade after decade of these courts coming in and substituting themselves as the legislature, and that's the problem. And so we decided that we needed to weigh in because we believe that that is problematic and affects states around the country as well in the selection of the president.
So that's the reason. I mean, obviously you're concerned about the Constitution being violated, but other states have skin in the game. As close as this election is, if one state has rules that are broken or not enforced, allowing that state to go one way in the election, it could deprive the other states of fair representation if it tilts the balance of the election and the outcome.
That's correct. I mean, and what we have seen are a number of irregularities that have occurred or information that we're receiving from around the country. And, you know, what I don't understand is that I didn't know where, and I read the Constitution again last night. I didn't see anywhere in the Constitution under which the Constitution offers the mainstream media the authority and the responsibility for calling elections. And therein lies the problem. I think that it is imperative that in today's world, where the country is so divided, that we ensure that the one thing we're united on is our is the way that we perform our election duties. And if there are irregularities, we need to vet those out.
Well, now, the media has repeatedly said voter fraud is extremely rare, that it doesn't exist, that this is all made up.
Well, if you can look in the brief that we file, we show actual modern-day, very recent incidents in Missouri under which mail balloting created fraud that was actually caught. And you know, interestingly enough, the Presidential Commission that was created after the Bush v. Gore case and led by Jimmy Carter, Democrat, former President Jimmy Carter, led by him, signed off. Their report said that mail balloting is problematic and should be at a minimum curtailed if allowed at all.
So when you look at, and I've read the brief and I've seen the cases that are cited, and now we've got dozens and dozens, actually into the hundreds now, of sworn affidavits of voter irregularities in this election cycle. It's extremely important from my perspective, and I would think you would agree, and I'm going to ask you if you agree or not, that we have confidence that the outcome, whether we like it or not, but we can trust the results. Because if we can't trust the results, we'll never accept the outcome, in my view.
Well, that's correct. And you know what's amazing is that, you know, we spent 4 years with the Democratic Party complaining about the outcome of the last election, yet offered no litigation to clear up any discrepancies they thought other than trying to impeach the president. I think that this is a very different story. When you look around the country voted right. I mean, we picked up almost a dozen seats in the House of Representatives. We kept all of the legislatures Republicans were in control of, picked up an additional three, and yet for some reason we've got a problem at the top of the ticket. You know, again, the math just doesn't add up, and that's what I think we need to vet out.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, that's the story we've been telling folks because they've not heard it in the media, that the Republicans, the conservatives, I should say, picked up quite a bit across the country. I mean, within striking distance of the majority in the House. So, Jeff Landry, as always, great to have you on the program. Thanks so much for stopping by.
Thank you.
All right, folks, speaking of the media, the social media, not to be outdone by the legacy media, also getting into the act of censoring conservatives. How have they treated President Trump versus Vice President, almost President Biden? We'll talk about it next with Dan Gaynor. Don't go away.
Since the 1973 Roe v. Wade Supreme Court decision, Congress and many states have taken various actions to stop taxpayer dollars from funding abortions or the abortion industry. As early as 1976, Congressman Henry Hyde led the effort to ban federal funding for abortions. The Federal Hyde Amendment, named after him, established the principle that abortion is not health care, and therefore taxpayers should not be forced to fund abortions. Despite these efforts, the abortion industry still receives millions of dollars each year in taxpayer money. In 2019, Planned Parenthood, America's largest abortion provider, received $616.8 million in government funds. Family Research Council's newly updated pro-life map tracks how your state has taken action to stop taxpayer funding of abortions. Go to frc.org/pro-life maps to see where your state stands in the fight for life. That's frc.org/pro-life maps.
Aw, man.
What's wrong?
I just missed Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, and our congressman was going to be on the show today.
Oh, that's not a big deal.
What do you mean?
Well, you can always catch the replay of the day's show.
How's that?
With the Stand Firm app.
Yeah?
Yep, you can catch that day's program and so much more. You can contact your elected officials on campaigns and policies that are important to you with the Take Action tab. You can listen to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins live and play previous episodes while conveniently going about your day. You can access the Washington Update, informative blogs, tweets, and critical campaigns on the main feed, so you can stay up to date on local and national news.
Wow, I definitely use that. How do you find the app?
Just visit frc.org/app and download, or search Stand Firm in the App Store.
Okay, that's Stand Firm.
Yep, Stand Firm.
How do you know all this?
Because I'm a SageCon, but that's another story.
Huh?
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So good to have you with us again. Veterans, why don't you take our poll question today. Text the word radio to 53445. What motivated you to join our nation's military? Was it a call to serve your country, family tradition, seeking opportunity, a desire for adventure, or were you drafted? Let me know. Text the word radio to 53445. All right, we've been talking about the media and how it's called the presidential election in favor of Joe Biden and refusing to even talk about the issues that are surfacing in this election, basically shutting off the president from even raising allegations. In fact, we just talked with Attorney General Jeff Landry about the amicus brief that they filed. 10 attorney generals filed with the Supreme Court regarding Pennsylvania and voting irregularities. You can't find it. The media didn't even really, they didn't cover it. So the president then and others would turn to social media as a platform to get this information out, because the legacy media said that has been in the tank for the left forever, but has come out of the closet in full force in the last 4 years, refusing to cover it, but not so fast. Social media is getting in on the act of censorship in a big way. Joining me now to talk about this, Dan Gaynor, Vice President of Media Research Center's TechWatch. Dan, welcome back to the program.
Such an important topic, because we've never had this kind of censorship in America where, you know, where the news media all get together and want to censor a topic, and then the one other avenue that people have, social media, also censors it.
So, yeah.
We did a poll looking at how Biden voters would have been impacted by this. 39% said they hadn't even seen the story, and 4.6% of Biden voters said they would have voted otherwise if they had known about Hunter Biden.
Well, yeah, clearly going into it, the media, legacy media, set on it, and then, of course, social media wanted to censor it. But since the election, even as the president has tried to raise these issues that have come up, the media doesn't want to hear it. They're already, you know, they've already crowned Joe Biden as president. But social media is, you've got numbers that show that he's being censored as well.
Yeah, the president and his campaign have been censored 111 times, and I'd say about 40-some percent of that are post-election president censored for any sort of criticism he had of the voting process, any sort of challenge. It's all just Twitter, 111 times for his campaign. Biden has been censored, restricted, banned, you know, any sort of limitations put on his tweets or his campaign, zero times. Now, you know, that kind of gives you an idea where things stand. And as we watch the Biden administration start to form, you know, at least in theory, we see that he's piling on big tech. According to the tallies, there's at least 16 representatives from big tech companies being added into the potential Biden administration.
So, Dan, when you see all that and you add it all up, what does that equal when it comes to the free speech of American citizens in the days and months ahead?
It's in terrible jeopardy, and not just American citizens, but citizens anywhere in the world. You've got tech companies that, you know, the most powerful companies in human history, and they have the ability to turn elections one way or another. And now you've already got the Biden administration coming out and saying that they want to restrict speech, because they want people to be safer online. This is, you know, the foundation now of almost every battle between left and right, I think, comes down to two words, and it's, you know, liberty versus safety.
Yeah.
And the left wants to make the online world safe for everything except, of course, for freedom.
They don't want it to make it safe. They want to make it controlled. And they want to be at the levers of that control. So, Dan Gaynor, what are the options? I mean, obviously, necessity is the mother of invention. And if we see this clampdown on speech, there's too many God-fearing, country-loving Americans, patriots, who are not going to sit for this?
Well, and obviously one of them is the free market approach. Or companies like Parler, we've seen a huge rush to Parler, to MeWe, to Rumble, to, you know, a bunch of other different sites. So that's one option. I'm certainly, people can find me in Parler. That's certainly one. You know, litigation is another possibility. Even Candace Owens is now filing suit against the fact checkers. There's a lot of talk about litigation, both against you know, the companies for violations, or, you know, like their terms of service and things, and challenges about what Section 230 might cover. And then, of course, you know, are they monopolies? Well, clearly Google and Facebook are, even though they would deny it. You know, so the government going after them in that way. But there's pressures the other direction. If Biden takes over, there's going to be a lot of pressure to restrict speech. There's international pressure to restrict speech. The left has been lobbying both externally and internally in these companies, and particularly at Facebook.
Now is not the time to slumber when it comes to the ability to communicate freely. Truth, hope, and purpose. Dan Gaynor, thanks so much for joining us today.
It's always a pleasure. Thank you.
All right, Dan Gaynor with Media Research Center, great source of information. Folks, we have our freedoms when we use our freedoms, and if we don't use them, we lose them. And I, for one, will not be silent. And we've got to, and we're looking at this even now. We've seen this coming. In fact, part of this radio program, the reason this was launched a number of years ago, was envisioning this day. All right, when we come back, Matt Schlapp, American Conservative Union, spearheading the legal challenges for the Trump campaign in Nevada. He joins us next. Don't go away.
Are you looking to grow closer in your relationship with Jesus Christ and in your knowledge of God's Word? Family Research Council has a three-part series titled Three Ways to Read the Bible. This series shares helpful ways to be encouraged and directed by God's truth by observing the text of the Bible and applying it to your life. There is no better time than now to get to know God through His Word by looking into the Bible to see what it says about itself, God, and humanity. There's no better time than now to begin devoting time to the Lord and to seek out His meaning for you. This blog series is a great primer on opening your eyes and heart to Him through the Bible amid the toils and troubles of today. Check out this helpful resource and learn how to read the Bible with not just your eyes, but with your heart and mind as well. To learn more, visit frcblog.com/ways to read. That's frcblog.com/ways to read.
When President Donald Trump announced his nomination of Judge Amy Coney Barrett to the Supreme Court, critics were quick to point not to this qualified nominee's record, but rather to her religious affiliations as a reason she ought not be allowed to serve as a Supreme Court justice. In an increasingly secular culture, it is not only the media that views faith as problematic for those appointed to judicial positions. Senators, particularly Democrats, have inappropriately interrogated nominees with comments and lines of questioning spanning theology, congregation membership, and associations with faith-based nonprofits, all seemingly with the intent to discredit the nominees. Family Research Council recently released a publication addressing this important issue. To learn more about what the Constitution says about religious tests, visit frc.org/religious tests. That's frc.org/religious tests.
The rapidly changing moral landscape of the 21st century presents a challenge for Christians committed to biblical sexual ethics. An uprising against morality has overturned centuries of norms concerning the family, marriage, and human sexuality. Secular culture is not the only challenger of Christian sexual ethics. Increasingly, theologically liberal churches and denominations are rejecting the church's historic teaching on marriage. As a result, Christians are facing increasing pressure to compromise the Bible's teaching on human sexuality. How should Christians who are committed to God's Word respond to these challenges? What does the Bible teach about sexuality? Family Research Council has a new publication that presents the biblical principles for human sexuality. It lays out a survey of culture, scripture, and church history that will help pastors and all Christians meet modern-day challenges to biblical sexuality with truth and love. To access this publication, visit frc.org/human sexuality.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, your host. Thanks so much for joining us. Website, TonyPerkins.com. Again, I want to remind you tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, pray, vote, stand. Join former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, Pastor Carter Conlon of Times Square Church, Pastor Gary Hamrick of Cornerstone Chapel in Leesburg, Virginia, will be joining me as we pray for our nation, pray for this election, pray for clarity, pray for honesty, pray that deception, if there is some, would be revealed, and that we would know the truth and the outcome. Again, that's 8 p.m. Eastern Time, prayvotestand.org. One more time, last call for our veterans. Take the poll question. Text the word radio to 53445. I want to hear from all you veterans. Text the word radio to 53445. I'm going to give you the results here in just a little bit. Okay, woke up this morning, and you know, I have my quiet time, and then I look. I don't know why I do this. I guess it's just to get my blood going, but I get the AP's morning update in my email inbox. And here was the top story. U.S. states cite smooth, well-run election, disputing Trump's baseless claims. Analysis, GOP lets doubts about Biden's legitimacy flourish. In other words, the Republicans are sticking with the president because they know that something's wrong. They smell a rat. And they're wanting to get to the bottom of this. Well, join me now with more on what is happening in these election challenges across the country is the president of the American Conservative Union, Matt Slapp, who is helping lead the legal charge in Nevada. Matt, welcome to Washington Watch.
Great to be with you, Tony.
So is the AP right that there's no claims? No, these are all baseless, that there's voter fraud and irregularities out there?
You know, dead people voting, kids voting, people outside the state voting. It's all in a day's work, Tony. I don't know why we get too alarmed about it. I mean, you know, if your family member votes after they die and they vote for socialism, I guess that's just part of what we have to deal with.
But here's something, and I've been a part of some of these voter challenges before, election challenges, because there was voter fraud. The rules are set so that it's very hard to make a challenge because of the short window. But the president has the determination for the benefit of the country, because he sees what's at stake. He's battled this for the last 4 years. What are you seeing on the ground? You're in Nevada. Let's start there.
Well, I am back in the D.C. area, but I was in Nevada for a number of days, and I'm staying in touch with it. And what I saw, Tony, was, like you, I've been involved in politics for a long time. I've never run for public office like you, but I didn't know what to expect. I'd always heard that Clark County is one of the most corrupt, you know, the Harry Reid machine, one of the most corrupt counties in the state, in the country. So when I was dispatched out there, you know, I thought, well, let's see what's going on. And I just couldn't believe what we found. I mean, dead people voting is one thing. Kids voting is another. A whole orchestrated effort to give ballots out in the mail to people who are not legally and lawfully registered, including a lot of people outside the state. By last count, it was probably over 9,000, and that number is going north. And I just was shocked to see that much of it. And then when you realize 600,000 ballots through the mail that no Republican observer could touch, watch, check anything, and then you realize that the computer that they used to check the signature file on the ballot against the DMV and the other government databases, that computer had essentially been dumbed down to a point where it was meaningless. That means that if they really did have a whole project to get fraudulent votes in via this mail-in voting, there's going to be thousands of additional ballots where the signatures don't match. And it's too late to fix those, cure those, as they say in politics. So I think Nevada is disgusting, and I wanted to take a shower. I just couldn't believe what we found.
Now, I also want to point out that these are not just rumors, internet rumors. There's a lot of stuff on the internet these days. I mean, you saw this firsthand. There's been affidavits, sworn affidavits. People, that means you sign out a complaint, you swear out a complaint under the penalty of perjury. That's been sworn out. In fact, I think I saw where there was a Biden van that was basically passing out ballots, and there's been affidavits sworn about that.
Yeah, there's a whistleblower who came forward, and he saw in his lunch hour a Biden-Harris kind of area, a van and a tent that was several feet or yards away from the voting at a precinct station. And the person basically saw ballot harvesting, where there were ballots that were unopened, that they were opening up, filling in, putting in the, I think they're pinkish-white envelopes, and then turning them in as votes. So it was two people doing all the filling in, voting in all these ballots. So this is exactly the type of thing that that Democrats say does not happen. But I think they were just so aggressive this time, and they were so, you know, Stacey Abrams and others have told everybody what they intended to do, that they think this should be lawful, that anybody can vote, you know, in early vote on election day, and my God, even after, even like 3 to 5 to 10 right. days after an election. And they said what they're going to do. And Tony, I think they really did it. And I think it made a big difference in Philadelphia. I think it made a big difference in Vegas. I think it made a big difference in Detroit. I think it made a big difference in Milwaukee. And it's just statistically impossible that the Republican Party and the president could have done so well in Senate, congressional, governor, state legislative contest, and out of nowhere in these big cities in a handful of states, he didn't meet his numbers.
Yeah, we had a statistician on yesterday talking about, especially in Michigan, just some, well, where only the top of the ticket was voted, about a 15% increase in the 2020 election versus the 2015. Statistically, that's an anomaly that needs explanation. And that came off the Secretary of State's website, so that we're working with their own numbers. Speaking of Michigan, I think I've seen reports where 10,000 mail-in ballots coming from deceased in Michigan. Yesterday, the campaign unveiling 234 pages, I think it was, of sworn affidavits, I think primarily focused on Michigan. I mean, that would suggest to me that there's a lot out there.
Yeah, no, and the other thing is I saw Tom Tillis, he was on Fox News after me on the Bill Hemmer show, and they said, look, Matt Schlapp is on claiming this election fraud irregularity, but he has no proof. Of course, I have names and addresses. Like, we have lots of proof. Like, that's just a canard that there's no proof. But then when you have the proof, they say, well, you need even more proof. And then when you have even more proof, they say you have to have overwhelming proof. Like, we'll never be able to satisfy the media's lust to have Joe Biden be the next president. But Tom Tillis said something very interesting. He just won his election from North Carolina, and you'll remember, Tony, that there was a Republican who won a congressional race not that long ago who was convicted of ballot harvesting. And
one of his staff members was convicted.
That's right.
He actually worked for me.
He was forced to vacate.
Yeah.
So you know.
I know all about that.
I'm right to say that for Democrats, they found plenty of fraudulent activity when it involved a Republican staffer. But, when it involves Democrat fraud, it's like, well, there's no fraud in this country. Well, that's just not right. We just had a conviction in the state of North Carolina.
Yeah. Well, the elections board is controlled by the Democrats. Is the issue. And the one who works for me is actually the guy who was the candidate, not the one that was involved in he was totally unaware of what the staff member was doing. But it was ruled as ballot harvesting. What actually happened in California and what is happening in what you just described in Nevada, that was ballot harvesting, which the Democrats are perfecting.
Let's say in North Carolina, the Democrats were too harsh on these people, these Republicans. My only point is that it was the Democrats being harsh on Republicans and saying clearly voter fraud exists. And then when we have thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of examples of fraudulent activity, they're like, well, there's no voter fraud in this country.
Well, it's because
it's unbelievable.
The enforcement board is controlled by Democrats, so they overlook it.
And they've convinced the media through these bogus academic studies that voter fraud isn't a thing. And I'm telling you, after coming back from Clark County, it's not just a thing. It's a cancer. And if President Trump doesn't keep fighting, we're going to be in big trouble.
Let me ask you this from the standpoint, you've worked very closely with the campaign. I know you've been on the ground at these different places in Nevada. In your opinion, is this a coordinated effort on the left?
I don't want to sound like a conspiracy theorist, but they seem to do all the same things. And they got all their laws changed either through the legislature in the case of Nevada or through fiat with statewide office holders. They changed their voting rules right before an election. It was all about mail-in ballots because of the virus panic. And I think that they actually – the thing that makes me the most upset is they dirtied the voting rolls so that more inappropriate, unregistered ballots would be out and about. Why would you do that if you're an election official? Why would you purposely send out a list without checking it by death rolls, by national change of address for people who have moved, by date to make sure minors don't vote? Why wouldn't you make all those checks if you didn't intend to make it easier for people to vote fraudulently? Why would you not allow observers into the count room, which we have essentially done for a couple of centuries in this country, and we make other democracies do that so that we can accept their election results overseas? Why did they keep us out? I mean, I've never heard of somebody keeping somebody out because they want the world to know they're going to do a virtuous thing. It was all the same in all these big cities. And if they cheated as much as it looks like they cheated, they might have just blown their own cover.
I hope they have. Now, I will, just from a historical perspective, I was involved in a race in 1996, a Senate race in which there was voter fraud. We took the challenge to the U.S. Senate, and I regret to say that the Republican senators basically caved and seated the Democrat in that race. I am encouraged by what I see among Republicans standing with the president right now. Mitch McConnell, I've talked to a number of senators, members in the House. They are standing firm with the president. That's encouraging. What came out of that 96 race in my home state of Louisiana, we didn't win the race, but the next year...
Was that Woody Jenkins, Tony?
It was. I was his campaign manager.
Yeah. I remember that race.
Well, the following year, we had election reform and changed our laws in Louisiana to clean that up, and we've not had major election fraud in the country, in the state since then. So while my hope is that this is cleared up and we see who really won this race, and it was President Trump, secondary, that there is a cleanup of election laws and that this is not allowed to happen again.
Yeah, I think that's right. Look, I think that can be an outgrowth of this, that they're not going to be able to have this kind of corrupt process. And I think it also puts a real spotlight on what the president was saying about this forced, mail voting, which he was right. He was right.
Yes.
To try to to try to highlight it. I will just simply say, I'm not saying that I know what's going to happen in all this, but I've spent some time scrutinizing what happened in Nevada and these other states. And I will say this, I think the president has the right to take every reasonable step to try to get justice on all this illegal voting. And I think everybody ought to let him have that shot, just like Bush and Gore had that shot.
Yep.
And I would just say this, as far as the state legislators and as far as Mitch McConnell and the Senate Republicans, one of the reasons they're being so solid is that Republicans, conservatives, and Trump supporters, even Politico said that over 70% of them think that this was stolen. That means that the number is much, much higher. And I would not want to be a Republican to say, hey, we just got to get over election fraud and deal with it. And as I said on TV today, suck it up, buttercup. I don't think that's the right answer. And
no.
I don't think the Republican electorate is going to take that answer from any elected Republican.
No, you see what's happening in this, and I'm going to talk about this tomorrow on the program, but how you have corporations now targeting these law firms that are representing Trump. I mean, this is more of the intolerance of the left, and I think people need to realize what's in store if the left is left unchecked. And I am so grateful that the president is willing to stand up and take the brunt of this to get to the bottom of it, because it'll make it, it's not going to make it more palatable, but I can accept it. If the president fights all the way through and we find out the outcome wasn't what we wanted, at least I can accept it as legitimate. I can't accept it as legitimate right now.
Well, you're with where Republicans are all across the country. Now, let me just tell you, my nieces and nephews are texting me. A lot of the young voters have woken up to this because they just don't think that this was right. They're smarter than to believe the statistics around how this could have possibly happened when Republicans are going to pick up probably double digits in the House by the time we're done.
Right. Matt Schlapp, thanks so much for joining us today, and thanks for staying in the fight.
Tony Perkins, keep up the good work.
All right, Matt Schlapp with American Conservative Union. To find out more, go to the website, tonyperkins.com. All right, here's the results to from the poll question for our military veterans. 46% said it was the call to serve country. 6% said a family tradition. 31% said seeking opportunity. 10% said a desire for adventure. And 6% were drafted. Well, for whatever reason you made that choice to serve, thank you for serving. And for those that continue to serve, thank you for your willingness to serve our country. I, again, find that very encouraging that men and women are willing to serve their fellow Americans and others. It's not just Americans that benefit from our military, but the entire world benefits from America's generosity and the willing sacrifice that so many make. Folks, thanks so much for joining us today. Again, I want to encourage you to tune in tonight, 8 p.m., as we have a time of prayer, as we stand at a point of uncertainty in our nation. We want to pray through this. We're praying for a specific outcome, but we're praying that truth would be known, and pray that justice would be upheld. Join us tonight, 8 p.m., PrayVoteStand.org. Until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, you've done everything you can do. When you've prayed, prepared, and taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is brought to you by Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. Portions of the show discussing candidates are brought to you by Family Research Council Action. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.